house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Just been such a sweet presence of the Lord these last couple weeks. You know, you never want to underestimate, even if someone's not laying hands on you, I've had people in worship services that are healed supernaturally, right there in their seat, before anybody prays for them or touches them. It's powerful when you have presence like this in the Lord. So just thank him for everything he's doing right now in your body, in your heart, in your mind. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Before we do our tithes and offering today, I wanted to let you know, I made these little cards for our missionaries. It's great that we're doing our pledges, but they need our prayers too, especially right now with where the world is at. We can be praying and interceding, so there's a card for each one of them out front. You can take all of them, or maybe the Lord just impresses on your heart just one specific one. Feel free to take them, and it just is kind of a way to remember to pray for them throughout the week. If you have them on your refrigerator or someplace that you where you pray for things or in your Bible, it's just a great way to be remembering them in prayer. So let's go ahead, and if you have your Bibles, you can open up to 1 Chronicles 29, and we're going to continue on with our giving from the overflow. And the flow part stands for follow the Lord, obedient and willing. And last week we heard about being obedient, that we don't just give randomly. When we have the overflow, we ask the Lord, where is this supposed to go? And if you're obedient to that, then the blessing comes back to you, right? We saw last week from Saul what happens when you're not obedient. You cut off the blessing and the flow in God's of in your life. So we want to stay with being obedient. Amen? And today we're going to talk about being willing. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, the whole thing is amazing. David is talking to the people, and he's giving them a commission. He's about ready to die, and he's giving a commission for his son Solomon, and he's addressing the people about building the house of the Lord. And let me find the verse here. I didn't write it down. I had a note card, and of course I left it. Okay, and David goes through, and he's telling all the things that he himself has given to the work of the ministry, and then he begins telling them that, yes, he's telling them all the things he's given, and then he begins to make his request to the people. And in verse 5, he says this, who then is willing? And I really believe that's still what the Lord is saying today. Who then is willing? It's really powerful when you stop and think about that. Who then is willing to give? Willingness doesn't mean you're dragging your feet, right? When a child does their chores willingly, it does something inside a parent's heart, right? It's like it blesses you. They're not kicking and screaming or, man, do I have to, complaining, arguing about it. And the same thing is true in our giving when we give to the Lord. It's not by accident that David used this word. He didn't say, who then is determined? He didn't say, because determination, you can do that even if you don't want to. How many people know that? You can be determined to do something and you really don't even want to do it. Who then is sacrificial? We already learned last week that it's not about our sacrifice, right? It's about our obedience. He says, who then is willing? Willingness is a matter of the heart, right? Obedience is as well. They're kind of like they're paired, like ox, right? Oxen going out in the field to plow something. You can't have one without the other. You have to be obedient and willing. And he says, who then is willing? In verse 5, to consecrate himself this day to the Lord. Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands, of hundreds, and the officers over the king's work offered willingly. What did they offer? If you keep reading, it says, they gave for the work of the house of the Lord 5,000 talents and 10,000 drachmas of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, 100,000 talents of iron, and whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord into the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they had been willing. With a loyal heart, they had offered willingly to the Lord. People rejoice when others give willingly. Amen? And that's where, when we're working in the overflow, your willingness to give is going to cause people to rejoice. I was listening this week to Pastor Cassie. He's one of the pastors on the Victory Channel. And he was talking about, why do we need to have abundance, or overflow is one of the words he used. And I was like, overflow. And he said, this is why. So that when you hear of a need and the Lord directs you to meet that need, it causes rejoicing for that person. Not only in their life, but it's the puddle effect, that the rejoicing goes out and out and out when you hear of someone's willingness to bless somebody else. Amen? It's powerful. Sometimes people can even come to the Lord and be saved, not because of hearing the gospel, but because of someone's willingness to give and to provide for a need. In this day and age, when you provide for someone's need, a lot of times this is the look on their face. You want to give me something? What? Right? Especially in the world, they're shocked. That doesn't compute to them. What? You want to do what? When I called this week for the backpacks to let the different schools know that we were bringing them in, they're like, really? What? Yes, we want to bless. We want to be a blessing. It opens the door for the message of the gospel. It opens people's hearts where they could be hard-hearted against, all Christians want is your money, right? Well, if you're the one blessing them, what happens? That abundance speaks to them in a way they can't deny. Amen? So once you hear of an opportunity to give, ask the Lord, is it me? Should I be giving to that? And then you may say, well, my gift is, well, they need thousands, and I'd only be able to give 100. But you know what? It's the heart and your willingness to be a part of helping that they go, wow, thank you. It opens their heart to receive from the Lord, not just your gift, but the gift of your Lord and Savior. Amen? And so that's why we need the overflow and why we need to be obedient and willing. This is the last day, and God is looking for hearts that are obedient and willing to give when He places it on your heart to give. Don't question. Don't wonder, well, maybe, no. Because normally, the devil isn't going to come and tell you to give to somebody. Right? That's going to be a blessing that he knows could open the door for God to bless their lives. See what I'm saying? So if you're feeling that, you need to act on that feeling, because God has a plan and a purpose. And it will cause rejoicing in their lives, but also in every life that it touches around them. Amen? It brings encouragement. So the overflow is coming to our lives. Even now, we're seeing people that are experiencing overflow situations. Amen? Say, it's me. It's me. And when that overflow comes, ask the Lord, what am I to do with this? Amen? Actually, you should be asking Him ahead of time, too, what to do for the overflow, because He can give you instructions before it even gets here so that you have your list. And you don't even have to wonder and ponder it. You've already prayed about it. He's already told you, give here, give here, give here, give here, give here. Because He's an organized God. We see that throughout the scripture, where He organizes things with the children of Israel. Amen? So we want to be willing. They gave an excessive amount that brought rejoicing from the people when they saw how willing they were to bring their offerings. Amen? We want the people around us, when they think of our names, to rejoice and go, man, they're amazing people. I was going through this time. They never even questioned. They just showed up at my house and blessed me. It was amazing. You know, I want to be like them. And we're believing for a harvest in these last days of people's lives that are going to come to Jesus. Amen? And that starts with us having hearts that are willing. Hearts that are willing. And sometimes it may not be your finances. Sometimes it might be your time. Might be your talents. might be something that the Lord is asking you to do that you want to be willing when he puts it on your heart. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. We want to be a part of the overflow. Father, we just thank you and we praise you for this word this morning. We know we need to be obedient, but Father, you're also looking for willing hearts. Or another way to say that would be cheerful hearts, Father. That you love a cheerful giver. That's someone who's like, yes, Lord, I'll do that. Yes, I'll give there. I'll give here. I'll give here. Where do I give next, Lord? Because we're willing. And Father, I pray in these days and weeks, as the finances start coming in, Father, that we wouldn't let the finances tell us where they go. That we wouldn't let the enemy come in and say, oh, you better hold on to that. You never know what's going to happen these days. You better hold on to that. No, we would be willing, Father, to give wherever you tell us to give it to. That we'd be obedient and willing. Those oxen that can plow the ground so that we can reap a harvest in our lives, Father. I just thank you, Lord, for the illustrations that you have given us in multiple people's lives in this church, Lord, that as they've given, more keeps coming in. It's almost like they can't outgive you because there's already a wave that's coming before they've even sometimes put it in the offering plate. Because, Father, their hearts are willing. And that's what I pray in these last days, as the overflow comes in, that we would be willing to do what you've called us to do with our finances. And, Father, I pray you bless every seed that is sown today. Bless the harvest, Father, that it's going to be massive in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the promise when we give our tithes, Father, that you'll rebuke the devourer. Cars will not run out, Father. They're not going to have issues. Our bills are going to continue to decrease, that our savings accounts are going to continue to increase so that we can give to every good work, Father, that things that should be going wrong are not going to be going wrong in our lives because we are tithers. You're rebuking, you're holding the devourer back, Father, from what we have, from our income as well, Father, as the things that aren't even here yet, Father. You're holding the enemy back so that they will arrive. And we thank you and we praise you for that today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right, let's stretch our hands to the tithes and offering. Father, we just thank you. The seed is going into good ground, Father. It's going to reap a harvest. And we're going to continue to see miraculous signs and wonders, Father, in the area of giving. I just thank you, Father, for millionaires in this church, multi-millionaires, Father, in this church, so that every time, Father, that you put something before us to do, that we'll be able to do it, and it will be off the top, not stressed, not taking out of our everyday funds, but, Father, it's going to be off the top. And it's going to be a blessing, Father, that will bless not only our church, not only our families, but our city and our state and our country, Father. I just thank you that nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is impossible with you today, Lord. And we just thank you for that faithfulness today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right, so the kids are dismissed this morning. They have an exciting day today. We've been doing the fruit of the Spirit, and it's been very powerful. We've had a lot of fun with it, but today they get the fun part. They get a prize today. Don't you love prizes? I love when God blesses, and even adult prizes, right? Somebody better say amen. We love the Lord when the Lord blesses us. Amen. So we're going to continue on. Can you grab that little table for me? Oh, thank you. Thank you, honey. We're going to continue on with what Pastor Steve has been preaching on God's healing flow today. So we're going to read a couple scriptures today. We're going to start with Ephesians. Thank you, hon. Ephesians 6:10. This says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Aren't you so glad that it doesn't have to be our might and our power, but it's his might and his power? Amen. And then James 4:7. Go over to James 4:7. And it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Woo! That's shouting grounds too. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. One of the things that I've been doing over the past couple weeks is I've really been just digging into God's word on healing. And one of the things that, if you don't have it, I strongly encourage you on your phone to get the Victory Channel app. And on that app, it has an on-demand button, and you can push that and you can scroll down, and toward the bottom it'll have healing school. And in these days, how many people know that doctors don't have all the answers, right? But can I tell you what? We have a great physician, and he knows you inside and out. He created you, he formed you, he knit you together in your mother's womb, and he can heal anything that needs healing. Amen? And what happens is faith comes by hearing. So it's really hard to resist something when you have nothing to resist it with. Amen? I know that's kind of an ouch sometimes, we don't want to think about that, but sometimes you can say, I resist you, devil, I resist you, devil, I resist you, devil, but it's not making any difference. Why? Because you don't know what you're resisting him with. Just gonna be honest today, right? So if there's no word inside you for healing, when you need a healing, you're not gonna have something to combat him with, okay? So God did his part already, and he gave us this. He sent his son, he won the battle, we are victorious. But we wrestle not with flesh and blood, we wrestle with principalities and powers and evil things in the heavenly realms, amen? So we're not gonna be able to contend with them with just our words alone. When Jesus walked here on the earth and the devil confronted him, how did Jesus answer him? With his words or with his father's words? He gave him his dad's words. He literally quoted verses to the enemy. He didn't say, well, I think, no. He said, it is written. I've been teaching my kids that when you have something in your life that you're dealing with, whatever it is, you better have swords that are ready. So you're not waiting for that thing to come against you and then, oh my goodness, what's a verse? No. You got a dagger down here, you got your sword strapped up here, you might have one hidden in like the little side things over here, but you can pull it out. You are armed and dangerous to the enemy, right? That's why it's so important for us to be in the Word every single day. And you have so many tools available to you, literally at your fingertips, right? And that's one of the things Healing School does. Gloria Copeland teaches it, and sometimes Kenneth Copeland will be on there. But you're listening to her teach the Word of God, and I listen to him sometimes, two or three times a week, the same message. Well, that's boring. No, I am sharpening my sword to where sometimes now when I'm praying, I can even hear her voice in my head, and I'm quoting the scriptures with her, right? Because it's inside of me. I'm ready when the enemy comes. Whoosh, pull out my dagger. Dare you get close to me? I don't think so, right? Excuse me, sorry. The air in here gets so dry, it's like, ugh. And so we have our weapons of warfare, and that is the Word of God, amen? So we can resist the devil. It's kind of like, I remember there was this, I think it was called The Bear or something. It was when I was really young. It was this movie, and this little bear cub gets mom died and it gets abandoned and it's wandering around, and this mountain lion comes up against it and it acts like it's gonna come up to it, and the little bear stands up on its little hind legs and it goes, aah! Right? But then all of a sudden you see the cat cower like this, and they widen the picture and the roar gets bigger, and behind it is a male bear, and it's on its hind legs and it's roaring with this little bear, and the cat decides it's okay, I'm done, and it leaves, right? But the little bear doesn't know that because it can't see behind him, right? That's kind of like how we are when we have the Word of God in us. It doesn't even matter if you're little in the Lord. When you're standing up and you're taking your stand against the enemy, guess what? You got legions behind you that are saying, I don't think so. and the enemy cowers. Why? Because we realized who we are. Now, could that little bear cub have gotten, you know, killed that lion? No, probably not. But it all of a sudden it recognized its authority and said, wait a minute, I'm not taking this, right? And stood its ground. And that's where we have to come to when it comes to healing. We want the power of God to be flowing through us, but that power has to come from somewhere. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. His spirit is in this. When we put this in our hands, it changes everything. We are then strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So we can say, I am healed and healthy and whole all day. But this is the only thing that is going to make you healed and healthy and whole is his word. Amen? Don't wrestle the devil when he comes with you and brings a symptom. Don't let him go. Pastor Brad talked about this a long time ago. Don't dialogue with the devil. He'll get you in a conversation, and before you know it, he's got you down a rabbit trail, and you've got fear and worry and anxiety because you've just da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Don't dialogue with him. When that thought comes or that pain comes or that symptom comes, you fight it with the word of God. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. God, my God says he is the God who heals me. I bless the Lord, oh my soul, and I forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. So I am forgiven and I am healed. This symptom must go in the name of Jesus. And you may say, well, you know, does it really work? Can I tell you something? Yes. Yes, it does. But it only works if you're willing to do your part. We have a part to play. We have to. Can you imagine? I shared this before, but can you imagine if people went out to war and they'd never practice using a gun? I mean, I can't imagine if somebody, I had to go out to war and use a machine gun. I'd probably hurt myself worse than I would hurt somebody else, right? I wouldn't be able to defend anything because I have no idea how to use them. Now, if you put my brother-in-law, Randy, if you put him in a situation like that, he'd be fine. He knows guns. He enjoys them. He knows how they work. He knows how to be safe. He knows what to do. So if we picture we are in a spiritual battle where our health is concerned. And like I said before, the world doesn't have the answers. Even with COVID, they thought they had the answer. Now they're saying, well, now you're going to have another shot. Because guess what, guys? It's a virus. It changes, right? So we can take one shot of this that says no plague will come nigh my dwelling. It also says no evil thing will befall me. I don't know what's more evil than COVID. What it's doing to our nation, what it's doing to people, it is evil. So we have to be trained in this word to be able to speak to these things and say, no, not my house. That's what we pray over you. No, not our church. If we hear a word of COVID trying to come against your family, oh, we go, no, 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 no. We've already drawn a bloodline. It's not coming over this way. I'll observe with my eyes, but I will not see it. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. And why do I know that? Because I have seen this word. I have read this word. I have memorized this word. I have dwelt on this word. I have looked. I know this word is true. So I have the power to be able to pull it out and use it. I don't have to flip. Okay, what was that verse that Pastor Shelley said on Sunday? Help me remember. No, you should be going home and taking these verses. Find them in your Bible. What I do now is I highlight all the verses a certain color that are for healing. So if I need something and I'm feeling like, man, what was that verse I remember? Somewhere in the Old Testament, I go through and every time a green pops up, I read it. I'm able to quickly find what I need because it's a certain color. You should be going home and reading these verses for yourselves. Amen? That's part of when your pastors bring you something, it's part of your job to find out, does that verse even say that? Find out for yourselves. Amen? It's one thing to be a new Christian and you need somebody to spoon feed you. How many people know that babies need to be spoon fed, right? By the time you're 13 in the Lord and you're sitting there, if I'm still spoon feeding you, we have a problem. If you've been with the Lord 25 years and you're still wearing a bib and you're trying to make sure that a spoon gets to your mouth and you're getting it all over your face, we have a problem, right? You have to at some point decide, I'm going to grow up in the Lord and take responsibility for me and my family. I don't have time, Shelley. Let me tell you something. In these days, you don't have time not to be in His Word. This is the only thing that is going to protect you and keep you safe in the days and weeks to come. Until Jesus comes back, this is it. Psalm 91 is an amazing protection, but it's also about healing. Psalm 103 talks about the benefits. Do you know the benefits that God has for you? He says, I'll forgive all your iniquities. I'll heal all your disease. Let's just go there. Psalm 103. I'm getting off track a little bit. That's okay. Psalm 103. I know it starts, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. No, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all your diseases. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. So you're forgiven, you're healed. That number before, I skipped it. He redeems your life from destruction. Anybody say that COVID is destructive? He redeems. That means he says, I'll take your place, you take my place over here. I've redeemed you. You're no longer a part of that. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. You are crowned today. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that, now listen to this. Steve and I turned 50 this year, and I'm like, he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Anybody know about eagles? They go through a whole molting process when they're adults, and they're literally, their feathers are renewed. So God has them take off the old stuff and put on the new stuff so they can continue to soar at the heights that the young eagles can soar. Hallelujah! Somebody say, that's me today. I'm being renewed. Oh, come on. Somebody say, it's me. It says, he exalts or executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. And it just keeps going and going and going and going. Those are all the benefits that he has for you. But how do you know what his benefits are if you never read it? You don't even know it's yours. That'd be like having a policy at your work that's for insurance that covers all these things, and you're still paying all your medical bills because you don't know what it says. So you're just paying the doctor outright, hundreds and hundreds of dollars for doctors and dentists, when all the while you have insurance that already covers all that. Zero deduction. He's covered everything. Amen? So we have to get in his word and know what he says. And I love it. The second thing he does, the most important, he forgives your iniquities. He takes away all your sin, right? Which is the most important. And the second thing he does is he heals all your diseases. You are diseaseless because he came and made you that way. That's part of the benefits of serving him. Say, I am disease free. I am healed. I am whole. My body lines up with the word of God today. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So now get back on Steve's thing. That's an extra. Confession for living in divine health. If you have your papers, let's say this together. Today, I speak life, strength, health, energy, and vitality to my body. No matter how I'm feeling right now, I am strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I do not receive sickness. I do not receive disease. I do not receive malfunction in my body of any kind. I do not receive fatigue or any other attack on my body. I receive life, strength, and the energy of God. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Now you have these, so you can take them home with you. And it's this amazing thing. You can read them for yourselves at home. You can read this over yourself every single day. And then you need to take it a step further. And there are verses here about healing that the Lord has in different areas. Don't just take it at face value. Go to your word and go to your Bible and highlight it. Highlight it. Find out what it says. These are just captions or quotes from the whole verse that's there. Go in and read it. Feed on it. Well, I don't feel anything today. Fabulous. That's great. But you will be prepared when it tries to come. I love the fact that when Rose was working at the bank, how she was telling me how that they train people to discover a counterfeit. They don't have them study counterfeit money. They have them study real money. Feel it. Touch it. What it sounds like, what it looks like. So then when that fake money gets in their hands, they know. They've handled so much of the real thing, when the counterfeit tries to come in, immediately, well, this is a counterfeit. Well, guess what? How do you determine when the enemy tries to bring a counterfeit to your life? If you're in the Word, reading it, feeling it, hearing it, all the time, when a counterfeit thought comes in or a counterfeit symptom comes in, you're able to say, wait a minute, that's a lie. That's a counterfeit. That isn't the truth. This is the truth. And sometimes you get to the point when you're working with something in your life and you're standing and you're believing and you're standing on the Word of God and you're in His Word and you're quoting Scripture and you're like, nothing's happening. Oh, I love this. Kenneth Copeland, hold on. Had to drink out some. Kenneth Copeland had this illustration, and it was the most powerful, freeing thing I've ever seen in my life, where it has to do with faith and healing. This cup is like our lives, and we all have faith in us, right? There's a portion of faith that's measured out, the Bible says, to each of us. How full it is dependent on how much we put in. Amen? And there's times in our lives where it will be low. Because for whatever reason, we aren't reading, we aren't studying. But he said, so often, people are standing and believing for something in their life, and they're not seeing it, and they think that nothing is happening. But it is. Something is happening every time you quote a verse over yourself, every time you stand in faith. Your cup gets fuller. And fuller. And fuller. And fuller. And fuller. Things are changing. Is the cup overflowing yet? No. But is it filling up? Yes. He said one time he had started feeling some symptoms in his service, like flu feelings. And he said, just out of curiosity, he said, I wonder how many times I have to say a healing verse before my body lines up with the Word of God. He's so funny. He's like, it was 857 times. I kept track. And he said, but on the 857th time, every symptom in my body left. Was something happening every time he said something? Yes. His cup got fuller and fuller and fuller and fuller and fuller and fuller and fuller until that moment of fullness and the answer came. Amen? This doesn't have to do with you having a lack of faith if you have a symptom in your body. It has to do with a warfare. And so often we let the enemy come in and he says, well, you have this symptom and this symptom and this. I've even done it in my own life recently before I started diving into the scripture. I was letting the devil tell me I didn't have enough faith for things. That's what he does. He doesn't come in with a neon sign, you're a loser. No, he creeps in the back door and he says, oh, how long you been praying for that? Oh, you seen any results? Oh, well, you must not have enough faith. Oh, this is probably what's going on. And he's got you, like I said, don't dialogue with him. If you dialogue with him, he will take you down a road you're not supposed to go. Amen? So what we have to do is we have to back it up. And the moment that he comes to you and says, oh, you've got that symptom. No. Actually, I'm fighting that symptom. That symptom is leaving my body in the name of Jesus because his word says that by his stripes I was healed. And I'm filling my cup. And when he says, well, you must not have enough faith. Oh, no. I have faith. Because faith comes from hearing. And I am quoting the word of God. I am listening to the word of God. My faith cup is getting fuller and fuller. Well, maybe it's this. No, it's not. Because I just read, one of my benefits is that he heals all my diseases. I don't even have to know the name of this thing because it is covered in his name. Well, but it could be this. Every evil thing, it will not befall me. Every evil thing. Let me tell you this. Jesus came to do good, and he healed all the sick. Okay, so if Jesus came to do good, and underneath that category of good is healing all the sick, then the opposite of good is evil. So if he healed the sick, and that's good, sickness and disease is evil and bad, right? Does everybody understand that? Do not let someone tell you God put something on you to teach you a lesson. No, we live in a fallen world. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. But we don't have to camp out in the rain. Amen? We have authority as believers to speak to those things that are trying to come against us and say no. To say no. And the amazing thing is, this is for your entire life. Anything that's coming against you in your life, anything that you're dealing with, whether it's a healing that you need, whether it's a salvation you need, whether it's you need finances, whatever it is, this word is your weapon. Amen? And it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to be in a battle with the enemy, I want something that's sharper than a two-edged sword. Right? Because that's not just going to cut one way. It's going to cut multiple ways. And it says it's even sharper than that. It is powerful. So often we've heard that, oh, it's just, you know, it's a good old book, sweet little sayings. The enemy has tried to downplay the Word of God forever, right? This is the longest standing book that's ever been printed. That should tell us something right there. It's lasted longer. It's not changed. It's remained the same. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this word is alive and powerful. What I'm trying to tell you today is we don't have to let the enemy tell us what we have to have in our lives. We are people of faith. Say, I am a man or woman of faith. Say it out loud. I am a woman of faith. How can we say that? Because the word is in us, and we are listening to that word. We are dwelling on that word. We are memorizing that word, and it's going down inside us. And even if the devil says, well, you've prayed for this thing for 3 months, doesn't matter. I know. I loved this, because no matter what the enemy says, you are putting something in your cup. Something is happening. Even if you can't see it with your eyes, picture in your mind your cup. And if you're not seeing things change, that's okay, Lord. I know your promises. You are faithful to your promises and loving toward all you've made. My cup is continuing to flow. My cup is continuing to fill. And at some point, devil, bam, we're going to nail this thing and it's going to be gone forever. Amen? So whatever you're dealing with today, especially obviously for sickness, disease, maybe aches and pains. How many people know we can grow old in the Lord, but we don't have to grow old in the Lord? Does that make sense? We can run and not grow weary and walk and not faint. Amen? He can renew us like the... Why is it important? Because in these last days, God needs people of faith to stay young. He needs us to stay active. He needs us to stay where we're healthy and whole. Why? Because there's a work to be done, and He needs us. Our temple, our body is a temple of the Lord. Amen? So we need to be speaking to our temple and saying, you are going to live and not die. You're going to live. 120 was what He promised. He said 120. There's 70 and 80 in Psalms, but if you study that out, it's actually the psalm that Moses wrote, and he's talking about the Israelites that are dying in the wilderness because they were disobedient. I don't want to be disobedient. I want to live a full, long life. I've said it before. I want to tell my children's children's children about Jesus. I want to be Grandma Shelley. And she's up there, and she's telling them Bible stories. My mind is sharp. We don't have to let these natural things, because we just assume, well, that's what happens. No, it's not what happens. You have the mind of Christ. Did Jesus ever have a confused moment? No. He knew His Father's will, and He executed it. Do you see how many things we let just slip in? Well, it's because I'm getting older that, you know, this hurts or that hurts. No. You go back to the Word. One of my benefits is He is renewing my body. Thank you, Lord, for renewing my muscles and my legs and my tendons. And I'm not going to get all brittle and wrinkly. I'm going to stay young in the Lord. Amen? Our promises. But none of these promises are going to work if you don't know about them. And you may say, well, Shelly, I don't know all the... You know what? You have computers. You have smartphones. Google healing scriptures. Actually, Pastor Steve makes it really easy. They're right here. You don't even have to work. Somebody made your meal, right? This is like Dairy Queen. You just drove through and got your meal for the day. So take it and eat it, right? How silly would it be to go through a drive-thru and then just leave the food and not take it? But we do that so much when we come to church. We take the Word as our meal, but then we do nothing with it. We've got to get to the point where the Word is first. It is going to be your only weapon in these last days against the enemy. Because we're fighting a very real enemy. His job, kill, steal, and destroy. And he'll do it unless you stop him. Unless you stop him. And we've got to get to that point where we stop him with the Word of God. How are your weapons this morning? I want you just to stop for a moment and be really honest with yourself and God. Because I had to do this a couple weeks ago. I know healing scriptures just from things I've memorized, but I felt like the Lord said, you don't know it good enough. And how do you know if you don't know it good enough? Fear can come in. Fear can't exist where there's faith. There's no room for both. So if you have an inkling of fear, whether it's of COVID or a sickness, a disease, growing old, your children, wherever that fear piece is, that's where you really need to find out what the Word of God says about it, and you need to get your weapons sharpened. What does that mean? That means reading it. That means maybe writing out. I always tell my kids, it's great to know a bunch of verses, but if you know four, for every issue in your life where the enemy tries to come against you, you're going to be just as destructive if you have to look up 16. You see what I'm saying? You're going to be more destructive because you're going to be ready. Instant, in season and out of season, right? You're ready to go with your Word. So wherever that fear is, you need to find your verses. Ask the Lord too. He'll show you. This past few weeks, I I've read the verse a million times in Exodus, but it talks about, I am the Lord who heals you. It was personal for me. It was like, I was reading it, but it was like he was speaking to me. I am the Lord who heals you. And those are the kind of revelations that you want. You could read through a bunch of different healing verses, and all of a sudden one jumps out at you. You need to write that one on a note card. Write that down, memorize it. Look at it every single day. Gloria Copeland has a challenge that she gives in one of her healing schools, and she said, you should take your healing verses like you do your medicine. How many times a day do you have to take your medicine? That's how many times a day you should be reading the Word of God over your life. And more. So if you write out what's my next journey, as I've already highlighted all the healing verses, now I'm writing them out in a notebook so I can read them over to myself. What does that do? Builds me up in my inmost faith. I am filling my cup every single time I'm reading the Word. Then you know what happens? Your cup gets so full that when you drop that next word, healing overflows out of you. That's when we're going to see people laying hands on the sick, and they're instantly recovered. Why? Because we believe it. We don't question it. We know His Word is true. Amen? So how are your weapons today? Stop just for a minute. Just between you and the Lord. How's your weapons today? Do you have weapons available to you in an instant? Or do you have to look them up and go find them? If you have to look them up and go find them, I want to challenge you this week. I'd like to challenge you today. I feel like it's that important for us to be ready for battle, that today you go home and you find at least four. Four weapons. Put them on note cards. Take them with you everywhere you go until they are in your heart and in your mind, so much so that when something rises up, you don't have to give way to fear. Instantly, faith comes. When I got the word that my niece had been in an accident, a fear tried to come up until I remembered, wait, back down. I remembered, I'd already prayed protection over her. I already prayed Psalm 91 over her. So that fear, even though it tried to rise up, normally I would maybe like dwelt on it, maybe hung out there for a little while. Oh no, voom. We grabbed hands right in the middle of a store where we were at, and we prayed, agreed for her. And what happened? Nothing. I mean, the car got damaged, but like my brother said, vehicle is a vehicle, a child is a child. Who cares about the vehicle? It's all about your child. But I was ready already. Do you see what happens when you've trained yourself? It does take time, so you're going to have to set aside time. But how much more time does it take in dealing with your symptom? Or having your life cut short? Or having your life hindered because of a symptom? Or because something in your life is so overpowering that you can't do anything? I would say that takes a lot more time, and it takes a lot more from you than just taking the time to write out your verses and go over them. Amen? Amen? God's got something He's going to do in this church, I believe, in this next season for us. And Pastor Steve and I are gearing up. And my challenge to you is, will you join us? Are you willing to join us in this? It's not we come to church and we feel good and we go home. We're in a battle, and I believe in these last days that we're going to have people come in that we're not going to be able to get to everybody, and it's going to be you guys that are going to be laying hands on them and praying for them. It's going to be you guys that are going to be saying, you know what, I used to struggle with that, but I found a weapon in the Word, and this is what it is. You should try it. You're going to begin speaking to people's lives, and we're going to begin seeing a multitude of people come in, and it can't just be Pastor Steve and I. Are you willing this morning to join us by getting in your Word and digging in the Word of God with us? We're going to need it in these last days. We're not going to be able to go out to battle and people be fumbling with their swords. You're going to have to be trained. And we can do as much as we can here, but it's up to you guys to go home and to sharpen your swords and be ready. Amen? Amen. Why don't you go ahead and stand? Father, I thank you for this word today. I know it's not an easy word, Father, because in training, it means time, it means sacrificing some things, it means commitment. But Father, I know in my own life, the miracles that I have seen, Father, just by taking time in your word, dwelling on it, thinking on it, memorizing it, Father, I'm seeing things that I have never seen in my own life take place, and it's exciting, God. And that's what I pray. I pray that as your people begin digging in your word, they're going to see things happen that they didn't even know that God could flow through them that way. That they're going to begin seeing people healed, seeing people set free, seeing people delivered. Father, that when the enemy comes against them, they're not going to have the same dialogue as they did in the past. That they're going to hear my words, don't dialogue with the devil. And instead, they're going to take their swords and they're going to begin warring with him with the word of God. And each time, Father, I pray when the enemy comes in to try to kill, steal, and destroy what the word of God is doing in their lives, that they're going to resist him, that they're going to say, oh no, I know my faith cup is being filled every single time I stand on his promise. And Father, for the symptoms that are lingering, in the name of Jesus, devil, listen up. We are not giving up. We are not quitting. We have stood our ground, and we will continue to stand until we see our miracle, until that cup overflows and that miracle comes forth. We refuse to give in to you today. I praise you, Father, for your benefits, that you healed all our diseases. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that today. The by your stripes that we are made whole. I thank you, Lord, that you're blessing our bread and you're blessing our water and you're taking sickness out of our midst. And no evil thing will befall us. It will not come near our dwelling. I thank you, Father, for your promises. And I pray today, Lord, that there would be such a hunger in each of us for the word of God that we'll not be able to quench that thirst. That hunger will not be able to be fed enough. We'll want more and more and more of your word. Because I know, Lord, in these last days, the only weapon that's going to be able to defeat the enemy is your word. And I thank you for your word today, Father. I pray for every heart and mind, Lord, regardless of age, that when they go to memorize your word, they're going to be able to remember it like nothing else. I believe there's people in this room that are going to start memorizing things, and you have never been able to memorize before, but you are going to memorize the word of God so powerfully, even chapters. You're going to begin reading things, and they're going to begin sticking in your memory. And Father, I just praise you, and I thank you that faith comes from hearing, and the truth is the word of God, and that truth is going to set us free, that you're training up this body as warriors to be able to go forth, Father, and set others free and then teach them how to become warriors as well. Thank you for your word that does not return void. And that's what I pray today for everyone in this church, that your word is not going to return void. It's going to accomplish what you purposed for it to do in their hearts and their lives today in the name of Jesus. We just praise you for it today. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Lord, for your word and for the powerfulness of your word today to change our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So you've got your challenge. Ask the Lord, what swords do you need this week? If you need help finding verses, I love the word of God. I'll help you find it if you need it. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed week, and don't forget to go home and look up all your verses down here too. Amen.